Now we jump forward into our day, and you know, we're hearing about the doomsday bugs, and a lot of the scientists that were killed were working on, you know, some very strange, if you will, chimera viruses. The word chimera, it's actually pronounced chimera, C-H-I-M-E-R-A, but that's the combination. You start out the introduction, I heard at the top of the hour, with the ears being grown on mice. And, you know, the plan to xenotransplant, in other words, be able to grow human organs in animals and then transplant them into humans. Well, you have a problem there with rejection. So now they've got a new plan, and some of the scientists are proposing, you're going to love this one, growing headless humans, keeping them alive on, like, artificial, kind of like in incubators,
oh,
and then
God.
Just taking their organs. Now, people say, well, this is just crazy people. This is not crazy people. These are people who have multiple PhDs, and what they're doing, they're
Frankensteins.
Testing water, and they will define a new ethic and a new morality. So when you, again, you ask me what I'm concerned with, I'm concerned that when people don't understand the cascading and spiraling downside effects to men who can only see, let's say, to step five, but at step 12 is where everything that you've built to step five goes awry and starts to turn on you, and that's what even the people like Bill Joy and some of these others are talking about. They're saying, look, we're scientists, and by the way, he's one of the most respected men in the world, especially in computer science. I mean, they're just, you know, everybody knows him. But the point being is he's saying, look, I never considered, I'll paraphrase his entire essay. By the way, it is on my website for people to read it, and I would say that everybody in this country should read it because it puts into perspective where this massive speed of acquisition of new technology is headed. But saying all that, there are people now that are concerned, and I make the statement, we have neither the moral or ethical base to be able to deal with what we're going to produce. And, you know, again, when you go into ancient history, you and I have talked about it at length on your show, the point is that when you start crossing human DNA, animal DNA, you get monsters, and a lot of mythology was not just, quote, funny stories that people had too much wine to drink in the hot Mediterranean sun, but you go into ancient history and you found out that they were messing with genetic alteration, too.
Well, do you remember the mythology of, Pan, for example? He had a human body, he had horns, he had a lamb's bottom and hoofs. Wasn't
sure.
that his name? Wasn't that Pan?
Sure,
yeah.
And the satyrs usually had the torso of a man. Some of them had horns. And then they would usually have the body of a goat or a cow.
Yeah, that's what they were.
Yep. And so the situation is in one of my books, Aliens of Fallen Angels, one of the first in the trilogy, I actually quote, you know, one of the fallen angels, and by the way, this is what they were called in those days, talking about, you know, having sex with animals and producing offspring. Now, people can't even embrace that, but, you know, just, George, less than 2 months ago in Iraq, about the time the war started, maybe 3 months ago, the point is they found Gilgamesh's tomb. Gilgamesh was one of the most famous kings. It's also the oldest epic in history that's been found, and he was considered two-thirds god, one-third human. And fascinatingly enough, the guy that was in charge of this secret society within the Third Reich by the name of Willigut, he was known, and by the way, he was known as Heinrich Himmler's Rasputin. He was also termed the Fallen Angel, for what it's worth. So the Third Reich was out there looking for, if you will, the supernatural combinations. By the way, when the Allies entered Berlin, they found 2,000 Tibetans who were dressed in Nazi uniforms. 2,000. Hitler considered the Tibetans to be the offspring of, in one branch of them, the offspring of the fallen angels, because for most people who are probably unaware of this, the word Nepal comes from a word to fall, and they were called the Mountain of the Gods, and Sikkim, which is a little mountain country in the Himalayas, is called the Garden of the Gods. So Hitler was really fascinated with Tibet, and obviously that's why Spielberg used that as, you know, one of those opening scenes in the first Raiders of the Lost Ark movie, because Hitler was just absolutely looking for what were called the golden sarcophaguses, and those were pretty much intact giants who had been mummified with a different form of mummification, and he was hoping to genetically reconstitute them.
You know, Stephen, we're not going to stop this. It's going to continue.
Absolutely, we're not going to stop it. But what we can do, George, we can make people aware of taking this to the logical conclusion. So when they hear some talking head on TV trying to tell them, oh, this is going to be good for you, you know, you've got to ask yourself, who has the most to gain? And as the mega corporations, you know, isn't it always the case, too, in the science fiction movies, when anybody is behind a black operation or black science, meaning, you know, secret and usually deadly, that it's the mega corporations. What people have got to understand is that if they can get a grasp on the, experimentation that's going on now, and then they can take the scientists and their quotes, and that's what I do in my book, Genetic Armageddon, by the way. I've got 12 chapters, and I take it and showing people, here's where it started, here's what's going on, and here's where it's going to end. And I can tell you this, it's a very, very, very scary thing, because again, the BBC carried an article about a year ago, it's on my website, and they're talking about, I don't know if you saw that, robots that could actually run by eating, if you will, or assimilating organic substances. So can you imagine the Terminator and a cannibal together?
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And that's what they're talking about now. And then they're talking about the merging of being able to download your everything that made George Noory what you are today, taking that, downloading your brain into what's called the Soul Catcher chip, and then cloning you a new body. And if you don't want a clone body, then they can put you into almost a bionic body. And this is what the military is really excited about. Everything from exoskeletons that will enable, listen to this, an exoskeleton, kind of like what you see in the movie The Alien, when the Sigourney Weaver is fighting off this thing and she's got this kind of like outer robotic shell. But they're talking about everything from that to basically, you know, super soldiers that will never need sleep, that will absolutely have a brain chemistry synthesizer, so they just, in essence, plug it in, and guess what? You're good to go.
It's funny you bring that up. I was watching a late-night movie a couple nights ago, Stephen, and it was about a professor, and he was trying to help Anthony Hopkins. It was a great, great movie where Hopkins lived with gorillas, and he's in this institutional prison. And this one prisoner came up to him who was under severe psychiatric watch, and apparently he had murdered somebody. And the reason why is because he felt that they were demons. And the doctor was asking him why he Cuba Gooding is the doctor, and he asked him why did you kill him, and why did you kill her? And he said, well, you remember the movie Alien with Sigourney Weaver, and the guy said, the demon looked like the alien? And he said, no, it looked like Sigourney Weaver. which brings up something with this kind of research. Do they have any idea what the outcome will be in terms of what these monsters might be? Because they may indeed make some horrible things which they have to tuck away somewhere in some institution or God knows where.
Yeah, a man one time stopped by my store in Montana, don't know his name, came in, tears in his eyes, and said, Steve, have you ever seen the Island of Dr. Moreau? And by the way, he was a scientist, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm.
And he understand, this is a grown man and weeping, and he said, I want you to know something. I've seen things so horrible in the field of genetic engineering that he said even the Island of Dr. Moreau couldn't describe what's really going on.
I bet they've used animals for example. I'm not sure if they've experimented with humans yet.
He's talking about humans.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And see, this is the thing. You know, when I say we have neither the ethical or moral base to deal with this, as long as it's not happening here and as long as it's not interrupting our, what would you say, standard flow of life's experience, you know, it's pretty tough for people to embrace this stuff. I know that. That's why I spend so much time on Genetic Armageddon detailing the scientists themselves, what they are saying, what their concerns are. You know, it's one thing for me to say, hey, this guy's considered the smartest guy by his peers. It's another thing when you read that this man is, you know, above reproach, saying, look, I'm having really some severe ethical concerns with where this is going to lead. And then the other people are saying, George, on the other side of the coin, they're saying, hey, we don't care. We'll deal with the problem when it arises. I got news for you. That scares me, because I can tell you this, that again, when men become vain and arrogant and absolutely get into the realm of playing God, they absolutely, their pride blinds them to the obvious conclusion of their endeavor. And I think that what we're seeing and what we're going to see, especially in the biological field of weaponry, with genetic engineering being so pronounced now and so prevalent, is we're going to see some things that are going to absolutely shock us beyond anything that most of us ever embraced, even though, even in watching scientific science fiction movies.